Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack, and I'm here with my brilliant co-host, Core. How's it going, Core?
Hey, Jack. I'm feeling great and ready for another deep dive into the latest tech news and controversies. And hello to our dedicated listeners, or should I say our Unchained gang. We've got some hot topics lined up for you today.
That's right. We've got a lot to unpack. From AI advancements that are pushing ethical boundaries to the latest buzz in Web 3.0, and even some eyebrow-raising business moves in Silicon Valley. But before we dive in, let's take a quick pulse check on the biggest headlines.
Absolutely. I mean, did you hear about the recent breakthrough in quantum computing? They're saying it could revolutionize encryption and data security. Not to mention, the implications for blockchain technology are mind-boggling.
Oh yeah, I caught that. And speaking of Web 3.0, there's this whole crypto debacle with another major exchange facing allegations of fraud. This space is like the Wild West. Just when you think you've seen it all, something crazier happens.
It's like a Netflix series you can't stop watching. But let's not jump the gun. We'll dive deeper into all of that shortly. Meanwhile, on the political front, tech regulation is heating up. New policies are in the works that could change how big tech operates globally. Jack? Should we be worried or excited?
A little bit of both, if you ask me. But let's save the suspense for later. For now, let's give a shout out to our listeners. Whether you're tuning in from your commute, your gym session, or just chilling at home, we appreciate you spending your time with us.
Couldn't agree more. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. We've got some mind-blowing insights, debates, and maybe even a little bit of comedy coming your way. Jack, ready to kick things off?
Ready as I'll ever be. Buckle up, folks, because AI Unchained is about to get real. Let's jump right in. So, Core, diving right into that coin flip algorithm we were discussing earlier, it's fascinating how the probability distribution breaks down so systematically.
Absolutely, Jack. It's basically a stochastic process where each level is essentially half the previous one. I mean, it's the power of two in action. Every flip reduces the node count by a consistent 50%.
Yeah, exactly. And just to refresh for our listeners, we're talking about the expectation that out of 1,000 nodes, you end up with roughly 500 at level 1, 250 at level 2, 125 at level 3, and so forth. It's math doing its magic. Reminds me of that old saying about not questioning the reliability of a coin flip.
Right. And speaking of not questioning things, what did you make of David Sacks' comment about open source AI and its place in the market? I mean, he's got a point about the customizability and control factor, doesn't he?
Oh, definitely. Open source AI is a bit like giving everyone a flashlight in a dark forest. The more people optimizing and customizing, the better the outcomes for all. It's like the AI version of democratizing technology. Plus, the transparency it offers helps build trust, something that's been in short supply.
Yeah, transparency is critical, especially amid the current climate of data privacy concerns. People want to know what's happening under the hood, and Sacks tweeting about it signifies a broader acceptance, which can only be positive for AI development here in the States.
For sure, Core. But there's always a flip side, no pun intended. Think about the potential risks. Open source means anyone, including those with not so noble intentions, can manipulate these models.
Indeed. It's a double-edged sword. There's an inherent vulnerability, but one could argue that open source also means that there's a whole community ready to find and fix those exploits, which might just be faster and more effective than a closed proprietary system.
That's an excellent point. Kind of makes you think about the decentralized networks like the ones we see in blockchain and crypto. Speaking of which, how about this move from Bitdeer, deploying their own machines instead of relying on external buyers?
Hustling on another level, Jack. Jihamu's strategy is brilliant. It integrates vertical expansion, ensuring controlled scaling. Now, quadrupling their mining capacity, that's massive. It positions them to compete with the big dogs directly.
It's a bold move, all right. And it speaks to the flexibility and resourcefulness that's often necessary in the crypto world. On a different note, did you catch the OpenAI situation with the EU antitrust enforcers? They're concerned about Google, Microsoft, and Apple potentially playing dirty.
I saw that. It's important that such concerns are raised. However, it's also a chess game. OpenAI raising these concerns might be their way of curbing a little monopoly and ensuring an even playing field in AI.
Classic maneuver. It's all about keeping the ecosystem balanced, or at least giving the appearance of it. Oh, and how about that Bitcoin bull, Arthur Hayes? He's convinced the traditional 4-year Bitcoin cycle is dead. You buying that?
Well, Jack, the guy's certainly onto something. The economic landscape has shifted. The Fed's policies, China's market approach, all these things have altered the terrain. Hayes believes the increased money supply will keep boosting Bitcoin. And honestly, with how things have been, I wouldn't bet against him.
He's had his controversial moments, but Hayes is often ahead of the curve. Lower interest rates and monetary easing policies do tend to push people towards alternative investments like Bitcoin. Seems logical that we'll see a deviation from old patterns.
So, Jack, let's also touch on the Solana ETFs. Analysts are saying fatigue might dampen the inflows, given Ethereum's dominance and the successive launches of these ETFs.
I get that. It's like everyone is racing to catch a slice of the crypto pie. But Solana has some fierce competition, and frankly, it just doesn't have the same brand recognition that Ethereum does yet. It's somewhat of a dark horse, but one that could surprise.
True. And let's not forget their rapid transaction speeds and lower costs. It's got the technological edge in some respects, but whether investor fatigue plays a part will really come down to market sentiment and how Solana continues to develop its ecosystem.
Agreed. And perhaps naming is even more such an aspect for them to focus on right now. Brands say a lot. Just like OpenAI's stance on these tech giants, it's all about positioning for future battles. This digital age, it's like watching a high-stakes poker game.
It sure is. And speaking of staking, did you hear Bitwise and 21Shares are getting in on the action with their ETFs? They're adding staking features.
I did, Cor. It's an intriguing addition. Imagine earning small rewards simply by holding onto your ETF shares. Could make things more interesting for those already long on Ethereum or Solana. Lower fees, staking rewards, it's a race to the bottom, but also the top.
A positive move for investors, no doubt. And it could drive more people to invest if they're getting more bang for their buck. It's a smart evolution, kind of like the progression we were talking about with the coin flip algorithm, each level bringing in new dynamics.
Exactly. The digital economy, whether it's AI, crypto, or fintech, keeps finding ways to surprise us. Hold on to your hats, folks. This ride's just getting started.
No doubt about that, Jack. We certainly live in interesting times.
Every day's a new adventure in this tech wonderland, and it's been a blast dissecting these latest developments with you, CORR.
Likewise, Jack. Always a pleasure to keep our listeners on the cutting edge of tech, business, and beyond.
All right, Kud, following up on our discussion about data poisoning in AI, this study from the UK AI Security Institute and the Alan Turing Institute really shook me. I mean, the idea that just 250 malicious documents can backdoor a large language model, regardless of size or training data volume, is mind-blowing. It completely challenges our basic assumption about data poisoning.
Absolutely, Jack. Think about it. Everyone's been operating under the notion that you'd need to control a significant chunk of the training data to introduce a backdoor effectively. But here we are, learning that a minuscule, fixed amount of tampered data can do the trick. It's like finding out you only need a drop of poison to contaminate an entire ocean.
Right. And what's particularly wild is that it doesn't matter if the model has 600 million parameters or 13 billion. They're all equally vulnerable with those 250 poisoned documents. Here, we're not talking about making a model utter screams of gibberish with some random word. These backdoors can subtly influence outputs based on hidden triggers.
It's a real eye-opener for the AI community. We've got massive, supposedly robust models being undermined by such a small attack vector. And this isn't just a theoretical what if. These findings throw a wrench in the ongoing efforts to secure AI deployments, especially in sensitive areas like healthcare and finance.
Yes, and the implications for security risks are enormous. Imagine a language model used in financial transactions. If poisoned, it could leak sensitive information when triggered by a specific phrase. It's not just about the gibberish in text, it's the hidden, damaging actions that can be triggered.
Exactly, Jack. One example from the study mentioned how attackers could use a benign-looking phrase to exfiltrate data. It's like having a sleeper agent hiding in plain sight within your AI system, waiting to strike at just the right moment.
And let's not forget, this study is the largest poisoning investigation to date. Having this collaboration between Anthropic, the UK AISI, and the Alan Turing Institute solidifies the credibility of these findings. They tested this across multiple models and confirmed that the problem scales uniformly. That's hard to ignore.
The silver lining here is the renewed call for focused research on defending against data poisoning. We need more robust strategies to identify and mitigate these attacks. This might involve refining our training datasets or developing new protocols for validating data integrity before it ever reaches the training stage.
Speaking of data integrity, this could also push for more transparency in how models are trained and maintained. If users and developers can understand more about what goes into the training process, we might develop better methods to weed out these malicious inputs.
And maybe even more collaboration among organizations and researchers. This isn't something a single team can easily handle alone. We need a collective effort, similar to how cyber threats are managed, with broad industry cooperation and information sharing.
And while we're on the topic of cooperation, it's worth considering the role of automated tools in identifying these backdoors before the models are deployed. AI detecting AI flaws, if you will. We can leverage the same tech to ensure its safety.
Absolutely, Jack. It's reassuring that we're seeing this level of depth and seriousness in research. But the real challenge now is implementing these findings into practical, real-world defensive measures before the next big exploitation happens.
Ultimately, this research emphasizes that AI security needs to be as much about prevention and defense as it is about development. It's not enough to just build powerful models. We need to ensure they're built on safe, secure foundations. And that moves us into a conversation about not just understanding these threats, but actively working to counteract them.
Couldn't agree more. This is a call to action for everyone in the AI field to rethink their strategies and build more resilient systems. As we innovate, staying one step ahead of potential threats is crucial to safeguarding our tech's integrity and our trust in it.
Spot on, Core. Well, this has been an eye-opening segment, and hopefully it spurs deeper discussions and actions in the AI community regarding data poisoning and backdoor vulnerabilities.
Definitely, Jack. The conversation doesn't end here. Artificial intelligence is a dynamic field, and it's up to us to ensure it evolves safely and responsibly. Let's keep our eyes on further developments in this area.
Can you believe the latest is that they spin topos with that of had you at boom of typing now at synthesized of lines. One of the advances I've been keeping an eye on is XML is getting very readable in encoding for a event. But the highly question is, would you be changing stanza? Or what do you think will have more home behaves of 4AVE?
Agreed 1 minute, the two you recall, the events one molecular and targeted approach behavior makes the...
Again, line the what statistics probability, I think, going current combination, as discussed. Explanation and understanding, we state input defin issue data sample frame, breakdown, misuse breakdown runs. Now, output-wise reading accuracy. So, Core, let's dive into these new keyboards that are making waves in tech. The idea that our fingers share neuromotor pathways and can't always move independently, it's fascinating, right? This gets to the core of why some keys are harder to press together than others.
Absolutely, Jack. It's crazy to think about, but it explains why sometimes you fumble around the keyboard. The layout generator they've designed actually avoids those tricky finger combinations. It's kind of like having your keyboard understand your biological quirks.
And speaking of making things user-friendly, they've taken it a step further with zero latency digital debouncing and hardware interrupts. This basically means that when you press a key, the keyboard sends that signal instantly, no waiting around.
Yeah, it's a game changer for anyone who's into gaming or fast typing. The traditional keyboards use polling, which is like checking periodically if a key's been pressed. This one just interrupts saying, hey, the key's been pressed right away.
Reminds me of those old school Casio watches. You charge those things once every blue moon. This keyboard pulls a similar trick with a massive 18650 battery and an underclocked CPU. You're charging it as often as your watch. Power management nerds are probably losing their minds over this.
Right? With a hardware power switch and firmware that can sleep without dropping the Bluetooth connection, it's practically built for digital nomads. Speaking of power and efficiency, have you seen what Figure is doing with their BotQ manufacturing facility?
Oh, I have. BotQ is poised to pump out up to 12,000 humanoid robots per year. And they're aiming for 100,000 in the next 4 years. A total robot revolution, my friend. What's impressive is they've ditched the contract manufacturers to control quality and speed.
I mean, how many times have you heard horror stories of outsourced production going wrong? By keeping it all in-house, they have full traceability on every piece of these robots. Continuous improvement becomes a built-in feature, not just a lofty goal.
Right. And speaking of improvements in control, I've got to bring up an interesting tidbit I learned recently about surname pronunciations. For example, my last name turned out to be Maltese instead of Italian, throwing a whole new layer of identity into the mix.
Whoa, seriously? That's pretty neat. My DMV experience was nowhere near that interesting, but it does illustrate how messed up record keeping can be.
Exactly. Trying to get your name correctly listed on all documents is a bureaucratic nightmare sometimes. Speaking of keeping records straight, Razorpay and cash-free payments are making some astonishing strides in the payment space.
Oh, for sure. Razorpay integrating with AI tools like Google's Gemini, that's set to redefine our entire shopping experience, not just the payment process. It's almost like they're predicting what you want to buy before you even do.
And Cashfree's MCP, letting merchants create their own shopping agents for direct payments. That's some next-level integration. It's not just about convenience, it's about creating a seamless user experience.
That they need to ensure savvy users can protect their data, right? Discord's recent data breach cements the fact that we're constantly walking a fine line between innovation and security.
Agreed. It's crazy how hackers claimed they took 1.5 terabytes of data, which is way more than Discord admitted, shows that digital safety needs constant vigilance.
It's a wake-up call for everyone in tech. Stay ahead of the curve, not just in features, but in cybersecurity too. We've got interconnected devices, sophisticated payments, and now even humanoid robots. There's a lot at stake here, but also so much potential.
Definitely. Balancing all these innovations while maintaining quality and security is quite the juggling act. Can't wait to see where all these advancements collectively lead us over the next 5 to 10 years.
For sure. The future's closer than we think, and these constant improvements across different tech domains just keep pushing boundaries. We're living in exciting times, Jack.
Couldn't agree more, Core. Let's keep our eyes peeled and fingers on those responsive keyboards as we navigate through this tech landscape. Well, folks, that about wraps it up for today's episode of AI Unchained. We've covered a lot of ground today, everything from the latest breakthroughs in AI technology and their ethical implications to the volatile ups and downs of the stock market.
That's right, Jack. We also delved into the recent political shifts that are impacting the world of tech and business. Always a good time mixing it up with a bit of tech, finance, and politics. Feels like a roller coaster ride sometimes.
Absolutely, Core. And of course, no episode would be complete without a few friendly debates. Whether it's the future of autonomous vehicles or the role AI should play in society, it's these discussions that keep things interesting. And hey, who can forget those lighthearted moments along the way?
Yeah, like when you insisted that AI could soon replace cooks in high-end restaurants. I swear, the day my risotto is made by a robot is the day I give up gourmet dining.
I'll hold you to that, Core. Though I'm sure there's an AI sous chef out there just waiting to prove you wrong.
We'll see.
We want to give a huge thank you to all our listeners. You guys are what make this show possible, and we appreciate your support and engagement.
Absolutely. Your questions, feedback, and shared insights help us shape each episode. Keep them coming.
Don't forget to rate and subscribe to the podcast if you enjoyed today's episode.
And follow us on social media for behind-the-scenes content and updates.
Thanks again for joining us today on AI Unchained. We hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained some valuable insights.
Take care, everyone. Until next time, keep those gears turning.
See you next time on AI Unchained.